Okay, the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. We'll read the beginning of it. This is the taking of Jericho here in Joshua chapter 6. And it'll probably take a few sessions, a couple sessions to get through it. This is a major victory, their first real major victory. They've crossed the Jordan River by faith and by miracle. They've obeyed the Lord and circumcised their males. Joshua has the confidence and conviction added to him by the captain of the Lord of hosts, chapter 5. And now they are going to approach this city of Jericho. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The word straitly there is Old English. Pretty easy to understand if you think of a strait. When it comes to a body of water, it's a narrow passage of water. If you think of a strait jacket, they make it where it's you can't get out of it. They tie you up. If as the Bible talks about being in a strait betwixt two, it means you're in a tight spot. So Jericho was straitly shut up. There was nobody getting out. There was nobody getting in. Now, principalities and powers, as mentioned in your New Testament, in Paul's writings, they will not lose without a fight. And Satan will use any kind of control he can. And we know in Romans 6 that the use of our hands and our feet and our bodies, our ears, our eyes, you know, our members in Romans 6 are an issue. And so the picture is that there's two ways in which something is a stronghold. Sometimes there's a part of your life that God's trying to deal with that's a stronghold. And that part of your life is something inside you that is heavily guarded by the flesh and heavily guarded by life. And there's a couple of key passages to jot down. One is in Luke 11. In Luke 11, he talks about what I call the armor of man, and he gives us the distinct lesson that you can't put on the armor of God over top of the armor of man. And of course, we see that illustrated in the life of David. When he comes, he sees Goliath. He has a statement of conviction, not of brashness or anything, but conviction and confidence in God. And Saul tries to send him out with his own armor, which is ridiculous. Saul was a head above everybody else, taller, and David was just a lad. And so the picture is that he couldn't go with that. He said, I've not tried it. I've not proved it. So he went with his sling and his five smooth stones. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 11 made a comment. He said, verse 21, when he's teaching, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. So the picture is that we build up an armor of life, how we cope with life, how we keep people from getting close to us, how we keep ourselves from getting hurt too much, or if we've been hurt before, how we keep someone from doing it again. And so that stronghold might be a wall we've built around within us. But then there are strongholds that are pictured by Jericho. And what I mean by strongholds in your New Testament, come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Luke 11 you should mark, and 2 Corinthians chapter 10 you should mark. We're talking about the victorious Christian life, victorious Christian living out of this book of Joshua, which we said before and pointed out to you is similar to the book of Jesus in the sense of the use of the Old and New Testament name, Joshua, New Testament equivalent Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And the picture is that the taking of Jericho is they're going to take it and destroy it. And they weren't even supposed to keep any of the spoils for themselves at all. And we'll get to that here in this chapter, probably not this in this particular session. So they weren't supposed to keep any of it for themselves. So it's not like you're gaining some great victory in your life that way. But in order for God to possess your life, there are places where the principalities and powers have dug in strongly. And they have straightly shut up the gates. And they are ready for a battle. And until you decide to war against them, excuse me, it's going to be a one-sided thing. They're not going to be out wandering around, but you're not going to budge them. And they're always going to be a threat to you. So Jericho can be a picture of this in the sense of a stronghold. And you should write down that Luke 11 and Romans 6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So strongholds can be like these walls of Jericho. All right, so Jericho straightly shut up. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now, for a child of God, the eye of faith is necessary for us to get the victory in Christ that was promised us. He said, men of valor. I like what one fellow said. He said, being brave can sometimes just be being brave, you know, 5 minutes longer than the other guy. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Many times, victory is our standing being appropriated by faith. The Lord said, I have. See, I have given. Now, he had, but he hadn't. He had, but they had to go get it. He had, but they had to march around Jericho. He had, but they had to blow the horns and shout and then go in and take it over when God knocked the wall down. But he has given it. This is why it's so important for you to know your Bible. This is so important for you to be taught your Bible. This is why, as a young Christian, you should get under some teaching that has the really right teaching. There's nothing as bad as partially right teaching. Now, I realize that none of us are perfect, and I get all that. But partially right teaching is a deadly thing. And honestly, it's one of the main reasons why a lot of Christians don't get the victory in their life that they should have. You could go to a church, and it might be a church, and it might have some leadership, it might have some preaching and teaching. But if they don't have a hold of the crucified life, if they don't have a hold of the kind of things we're talking about, you don't have anything whereby to appropriate because you don't understand what you have in Christ. You see, without the right teaching, most Christians, most people who profess Christ, are still trying to do it by mere willpower and by mere discipline. And that kind of Christianity ends up occupied by people who happen to have sort of moral or civilized strongholds. And so the strongholds remain. And a lot of people don't know that that person sitting in that pew or that chair has a stronghold because it happens to be a civilized or a moral stronghold. You could be really moral, but be very covetous. You could be very moral, but envious. You could be very moral, but jealous. Those are strongholds. And so it's by the eye of faith. What eye of faith? What Christ did on the cross. See where he says, see, I have given into thine hand. I'm not going to actually give you all the verses. I've got them here just penciled and written all over in my teaching Bible. But I'm going to challenge you to do this. Take some time, read a page or two of the Pauline epistles, and just mark in there all the times he says he's given you something ahead of time. And then act upon it. And that's what we're going to learn that they do. They do this entire thing by faith. Because verse 3, watch. The Lord said unto Joshua, verse 2, and he continues to speak to Joshua in verse 3, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So once a day, by the eye of faith, they're going to do this. Now these orders are given like you would in a military fashion, because that's what he says, the men of valor. The orders were given to a man for an army. There were no councils, there were no votes. And even though the orders are unusual, now, don't discount that God still does this. Yes, there have been some counterfeits of it. You know what's amazing? It amazes me that Christians are willing to follow somebody whose so-called vision is compromise, whose so-called vision is carnal music, whose so-called conviction is contemporary Christian anything, and then they criticize the man who has a true vision from God and just wants to see God work and build people's lives. And there is a choice, because God still does do this. So he gives them this order, this simple order, march around the city once a day for 6 days. Now, if he'd been like most people, they would have said, well, let's just get all six times out of the way today. No, the Lord said once a day for 6 days. Verse 4, and seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Now what happens is, all up, they circle this city then 13 times. Jericho is a cursed city, and God is going to curse it, and they circle it 13 times. Now 13 in your Bible is a number of rebellion. 13 in your Bible is a number of a curse most of the time in Bible numerics. They go once a day for 6 days. That's six. They go seven times on one day. On the seventh day, and that's seven and six is 13. Now, you will find sevens connected constantly to things like the tribulation, the second advent, a perfected work. And so God is combining those two numbers, the six and the seven, and they make 13. Your Old Testament ends with a curse. Your Old Testament is 39 books. The Authorized King James Bible has 39 books. That's the right number. 3 times 13. 3 times a curse. The completed witness. All right, so as we're going through here, we see these guys, and what they're going to do is they're going to do this thing 13 times. All right, verse 5. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now, they have to keep silence for 13 times around here. Just be silent. And when it comes time, these walls fall in a miraculous fashion after the shout of faith. Look at verse 10. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Can you imagine trying to get a typical Christian today to do that? They can't even be quiet when they know to be quiet. Why? Because we live in a noisy world. We live in a world of pushing boundaries. We live in a world of rebellion. Now, these men of valor would have been itching to fight. They would have been ready to go at it. And the Lord said, what I want you to do is I want you to be quiet. I want you to be silent. Okay? Verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. So the picture of a trumpet there, a ram's horn, is something that the watchman warns with. And the watchman has a duty to in Ezekiel 18. And it's a warning sound. And it would have a unique sound. If you live anywhere near where they go through tornado season, generally speaking, they're going to have a warning system. Usually they'll test it once a week. And so it's a good thing to know what time that testing is so you don't think there's a tornado at your back door. All right, now, the warning sounds. These ram's horns, these trumpets, they were used to signal a lot of things. In your Bible, there's a time when it comes, they are signaling judgment. There's other times they're signaling for an attack. There's always a signal for retreat or regrouping. There's signals for victory. There's signals for pressing the enemy. And they're used because they're a great way to communicate, especially in the midst of battle. Verse 7, he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city. Let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And this would have been quite a sight. And I don't know if you can get hold of it, but can you imagine looking over that wall if you're one of the inhabitants of Jericho And you're watching these people basically dare you by circling the city. They don't say anything. They don't answer back. I can't imagine that the people of Jericho were restrained from saying nothing at all. I can't imagine that they just said nothing. And you can imagine how curious they were about what was going on. But by faith, these people just circle the city. Then they go back to their tents. And the next day, verse 8, it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. So this ark is vital to them. It would have been something for the inhabitants of Jericho to get a glimpse of them doing this. And I'm telling you that they would have known the history. They would have understood this thing of the ark of the Lord. And verse 9, the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets. And the rear reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. This is some kind of sight, man. Look at verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. So Ecclesiastes 3 says a time to speak and a time to keep silence. Ye shall make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. Bible says, as a lamb dumb before shears. Picture being that for 13 times around this thing, once a day for 6 days, seven on the seventh, nothing, quiet, just silence. Just let them stew a little bit. Just let them wonder what's going on. Just let the Lord put fear into them. You know, it's an amazing thing. He says, be still and know that I'm God. Now watch, they're marching, but they're still. They're marching, they're obeying, but they're still. So they were putting feet to their prayers. They were marching, but they were still. Well, how could you be still and be marching? Because they were still with their mouths. You know, sometimes there is an alternative to having an opinion. And sometimes there is an alternative to voicing your opinion. And sometimes there is an alternative to you needing to hear anybody else's opinion. And that alternative is silence. Just plain old quiet. Reading your Bible in the quiet is a good thing. Doesn't mean you have to all the time. I get that. But there's a lot of times when reading your Bible in the quiet can help you see what's in the passage that maybe you didn't see before. There's a time when you get before the Lord and yes, we pray and we have prayer lists and these things, but there's times we get before the Lord and we're just silent. There's times when we're marching to Zion, but we ourselves are what? Are silent. Those times are as instructional. They are as much a part of who we are as Christians as when we're witnessing, as when we're talking to other people about Christ or teaching or preaching or any of those things. And so we get down through here and verse 11, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So there's no rhyme or reason except what? God told Joshua, Joshua told the men. Now, Joshua is a picture of the Lord Jesus. I get that. I also understand God uses leadership many a time. He'll use it in your home. He'll use it in your life. He'll use it in your community. He'll use it at work. He'll use it in your church. We know the picture is it coming from Jesus, from the Lord Jesus, from Joshua. Okay? And let me say this. We're probably going to close here in a minute with this. And we'll pick it up at the paragraph mark in verse 12. Our next one. Let me say this, please, that it's really important for us to realize that our obedience to some of God's simple and straight and yet mysterious commands is very, very important to the testimony of God to the spirit world and to the unseen world. And it's not that you're going to know what's happening. In fact, you won't know what's happening. And it's not that you can demonstrate what's happening. But the larger battlefield is the unseen battlefield. Because the victories you get when you're all alone, alone with your Bible, alone in your prayer closet, alone doing duties, perhaps you're alone in life, those victories we get are observed by the entire spirit world, so to speak. And the picture here is the people of Jericho are watching and watching. And I would imagine at the beginning, they were mocking a little bit, maybe. They were pretty confident. But as time wore on and the children of Israel didn't wear down, then when they started getting a glimpse that God might be about to do something that they couldn't handle. And these people of Jericho knew that the one thing they couldn't handle was if God himself became involved. I was thinking of this. We hear the phrase, restoring the kingdom to Israel, and it is a Bible phrase, and it will happen. Here's what I think people are missing. In order for it to be the restoring of the kingdom to Israel, Israel has to restore who their king is. They have to make God their king again. And since he sent his son incarnate, they're going to have to accept his son to sit on that throne. And so it's not a matter of Israel getting back their land. It's not a matter of Israel getting back their recognition. It's not a matter of Israel getting back their rights. It's actually a matter of Israel getting back to God Almighty because he sent his son to receive in his son, and then having the blessings and the power upon him and the freedom that are directly associated with the Lord God being their Lord. The same is true of us. May you have the victories. May you have the strength that comes through making the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord, as well as your Savior. Father, I pray you'd use these thoughts and words. Continue to ground your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.